Good day, friends. Again, we come to you with studies in the book of Genesis. And we're starting in chapter 37, and we'll run through to the end of the book, that is the book of Genesis. We're going to be dealing with this man, Joseph, the pride of Jacob's heart. You remember that Joseph was the firstborn of Rachel. Rachel was the one whom Jacob really loved. In the preceding chapters, we saw the death of Deborah, the death of Rachel, and the death of Isaac. Then we had the sin of one of his children, Reuben. In chapter 36, we had the generations of Esau. Now when we come to chapters 37 to 50, we have the man Joseph. And I was saying in our last lesson that we see discipline in Joseph, in Jacob, leading to holiness. But we see suffering in Joseph, which leads to glory. And if you put those together, you'll notice how true it is all through your Bible. Discipline always leads to holiness. Hebrews chapter 12 informs us concerning that. The one who is exercised by the discipline, it produces holiness. It's what God wants of us in our own lives. And in Joseph we see suffering, hated and sold by his brethren, and he suffered in prison in Egypt. But it ends up with him being in a place of glory in Egypt. And I was saying that in this man Joseph we see a type of the Savior, possibly more than in any other person in the Old Testament. We talk about Abraham, the friend of God, and Moses, the servant of God, and David, God's king, and so on. But in Joseph, although he's not given to us in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 as a type of our Savior, he's so much like the Savior in his walk among men that I'm going to take the privilege of doing this, the freedom to do this. His word Joseph means added, you remember. The Egyptians give him another name which means the revealer of secrets. And we have in this whole passage from chapters 37 to 50 the evil character of his brethren and yet the love of the father for Joseph. Now in verse 2 we find the word concerning him. I want to read the first three or four verses of chapter 37. Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably about him. Let me just stop there for a moment before we take up the question of his dreams. But you'll notice that in the second verse, Joseph, first of all, was a shepherd feeding the sheep. This is what he did. He was feeding the flock with his brethren. Now, I said a while ago that Joseph gives to us a picture of our Savior in many, many particulars. Our Lord, too, was a shepherd. In John chapter 10, you remember, he said, I am the good shepherd, the good one. The shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, and so on. Then you notice that he was in opposition to evil. In the second verse, he told his father about how his boys were acting up. They were evil. He brought an evil report of them. He was opposed to evil. That was true of our Savior, remember, even among his own brethren in John chapter 7, where he said, when his brethren said to him, I'm speaking now of his brethren in the flesh, I read, for neither did his brethren believe in him. Jesus said to them, my time is not yet come. Your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, But me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Our Lord testified of the evil works of the world, and therefore they hated him. Just so we have in this question of verse 2, where they hated Joseph, his opposition to evil. Then in verse 3, you have the fact that Israel loved Joseph more than any one of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. We talk about his father's love for a moment. You know, in Proverbs chapter 8, from 22 to 30, that amazing passage where wisdom is personified. I was with him when he made the worlds. I was his daily delight, as one brought up with him. The daily delight of the Father was in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Or you make it in Matthew 3:17, when our Lord, as a man in the midst of men, was baptized by John in Jordan, there came the word from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." Same on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. God never said that about anybody else. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Here you have the Father's love for his Son. And then in verse 3, you remember that Jacob, or Israel, made for him a coat of many colors. Speaking of our Lord in his perfections, he could say, you remember, "I do always the things that please him." Then in verse 4, he is hated by his brethren. When our Lord Jesus exposed the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, my, how they hated him. You take, for example, that passage in John 15, verses 18 to 25, where he speaks of the world hating him all the way through. And they not only hated him, but they hated his Father. And he told his disciples that they would hate them because the world hated him. And because the world hated him, he would hate those who followed him. And then he was hated for his words. You'll notice that in verse 4 and 5, he was hated, and they would not speak peacefully unto him. In verse 5, they hated him yet the more. What for? For his words. And he in verse 8, and they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. You see, they hated his person because of his father's love. They hated his words because he spoke to his father about their evil doings. By the way, which reminds me in the book of John, chapter 12, verses 47 to 48, our Lord said, "I needn't judge you. I needn't judge you. The words that I speak, the same shall judge you in that day. You have one that judgeth you. The words that I speak unto you, the same shall judge you in that day." So you see, they hated him for his person, being the object of his father's love. They hated him because of his words. He spoke the truth concerning them. And then they hated him for what he was and for what he said. You have this in John's Gospel, chapter 8, over and over again. So you see, you have this question of their hatred for Joseph, for his person, for his words, for what he said, for what he did. And then you remember they hated him because of his dreams. And you have in verses 7 to 8, you have the first dream. He said, "Hear me. I pray you hear me, this dream which I have dreamed. We were binding sheaves in the field, and my sheaf arose and stood upright, and all your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheep." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him because of this. By the way, you know, this is a prophecy. When you go through the book of Genesis, you'll find later on that they bowed their knee to him in Egypt. This came true. Same with our Savior. You know, our Lord is going to have a remarkable future. You take that passage like, which you all know, in Isaiah chapter 9, 6 to 7. Unto us a child is born, unto us his son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You have it in Luke chapter 1, when the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary about the birth of our Savior, and that he shall reign not only over the kingdom of Israel, he shall reign over the nations. He's going to be a ruler. So you have here in verse 7, Joseph prophesying through his dream that they would make obeisance to him. And of course they resented that. He was the youngest of them except Benjamin, and they hated him for his words, hated him for his person. And then you notice in verses 9 and 10 and 11, Joseph foretold his future sovereignty. And here he speaks of earthly and heavenly dominion. He dreamed yet another dream, told it to his brethren, said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. They fell down before me." He told it to his father and to his brethren. His father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you've dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to you on the earth?" And his brethren envied him. But his father observed the saying. You see, you have this thing in Matthew 26. You remember the high priest said to Jesus, "I adjure thee by the living God, tell us, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Highest?" What was our Lord's answer? "Thou sayest, but not only so, but you see the angels of God, see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You'll see the Son of Man coming in power in the clouds, fulfilling Daniel chapter 7. No wonder they said, "Let's take him and stone him. Let's get rid of him. Let's kill him." The same thing in John chapter 12. They hated him, Jesus said. They hated me without a cause. They hated me without a cause. You take in Matthew chapter 27. Pilate said, or shall I say, Pilate perceived that they had delivered him up because of envy. And if I were to quote from the book of Proverbs, where it says that envy is the rottenness of the bones, when you come to Romans chapter 13, where we're to put off certain things, and the third couplet was what? Envy and jealousy. These are terrible things. And that verse, the second last verse of Romans 13, put off, you remember, not given over to reveling in drunkenness, outbroken sin. Of course, you wouldn't do that. Nor chambering or wantonness, secret sins. But put off envy and jealousy. These are terrible things. This caused the death of the Son of God. Did you know that? And we read that Joseph's brethren hated him, and they hated him without a cause. He just told the truth, and they hated him. Now, starting in at verse 12 and running right through verse 36 to the end of the chapter, you have where Joseph is betrayed and sold. Let me just be brief about this, may I? In verses 13 and 14, you have where Joseph was asked by his father to go and seek out his brethren. "Come, I will send you unto them, unto the brethren." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Go, I pray you, and see whether it be well with your brethren, and see if it's well with the flocks, and bring me word again." So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Did you notice where he sent him? He sent forth by his father to seek his brethren. The well-beloved son willingly went to seek his brethren. Oh, you know, I think of that verse in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. "In the volume of the book it is written, me, I delight to do thy will." Quotation from the 40th Psalm. or the obedience of our Savior because of his love for his father. And his father said, go and see how my brethren are getting along. He sent them to seek his brethren. You have the same thing in John chapter 1, verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He left the place of fellowship. He left the place of Hebron, which means communion and fellowship. He left home to go out. And where did he find them? At Shechem. He came to Shechem. And you remember, Shechem was the place of sin, of bloodshed. You have that in chapter 34. And our Lord went to seek his brethren. He left the place of fellowship. I'm thinking especially of Philippians chapter 2. He who was in the form of God thought it not a thing to be held onto, but emptied himself, made himself of no reputation, took his place in the human family. He was found in fashion as a man, and he humbled himself to death, even the death of the cross. He came to this place of sin and shame. He came to Shechem, and he was found by a man wandering in the field, and the man said to him, who are you looking for? Who are you seeking? He said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray you, where do they feed their flocks? And the man said, they've departed, and I heard them say they were going to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. He found them, he sought them till he found them. He wandered in the field in this world, and he sought until he found. You know, I think of Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Do you remember that? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. You have it in Luke chapter 15, where you have the story of the woman seeking her coin and the shepherd seeking his sheep, and then of the lost son and the father with a heart yearning for that son. It took him in. And here you have where he sought them and he found them. And I read that when he found them, when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to slay him. They said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him. Cast him into some pit. We will say some evil beast hath devoured him. We will see what will become of his dreams. And when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood. Cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness. Lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him of out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. Let me just stop here. Well, you notice he wandered in the field till he found him. And when he found him, what were they doing? They were conspiring against him. Again, you come back to chapter 26 of Matthew. Do you remember how that chapter starts? Our Lord said, in 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man shall be crucified. Our Lord set the time of his death. He set the manner of his death. 2 days, I'm going to be crucified. What follows that? The committee meeting of the Sanhedrin, and they determined, because they hated him without a cause, they determined to kill him. You see, they conspired against him to kill him. You see, his words were not believed. Well, let's see what this dreamer's got to say. We'll kill him. And then what about his dreams? His words were not believed. Let's see if his words are going to come true. Now, verse 23, and it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. They took him and they cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty and there was no water in it, and they sat down to eat there. Their indifference to him. May I just suggest this? They took off his coat of many colors. They shamed him. You have the same thing in the gospel through Matthew 27. Likewise in John chapter 19, do you remember? They took off our Lord's clothes and shamed him. By the way, I'm thinking of that verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, and despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. He never despised the cross. but he did despise the shame. He was naked, shamed, and they cast him into a pit where was no water. Speaking of our Lord slain and buried, you see, shame speaks of Calvary. The 24th verse, he was cast into the pit where was no water. I would suggest in that connection such passages as Zechariah chapter 9, verse 11. Or you take this, the 16th Psalm, verse 10. What could go on concerning this question of our Lord being cast into a pit? And then in verse 28, he was taken out alive and sold into Egypt. And I would say here, it reveals indeed to us his resurrection from the dead. But in 25 to 27, you see the hatred and the hypocrisy of his brethren while he's in the pit. And if you follow through with that in Matthew 27 and John chapter 18, they sold him for 20 pieces of silver to the Midianites. Our Lord was sold for 30 pieces of silver. And you remember they took his coat and sprinkled with blood and presented it to the Father. See what we found. Sold for 20 pieces of silver, and then was sold again into Egypt as a slave. And so you have at the end of the chapter, you have the Father in sorrow because of the death of his only beloved Son. One is reminded of Hebrews 9:12. He had entered the holy place with his own blood and obtained for us an eternal salvation, eternal redemption. The chapter ends with Joseph in the hands of the Gentiles. Rejected by his brethren, he's in the hands of the Gentiles. And so we finish the chapter, chapter 37. What a picture of our Savior. As you follow through the experience of Joseph, the beloved of the Father, ending up enslaved, sold into the hands of the Gentiles. What a picture of our Savior in his birth, in his life, in his betrayal, in his death, burial, resurrection, and now ministering for 1900 years to Gentiles. I say it's such a brief picture of an illustration of our Savior through the experience of Joseph in chapter 7 of the book of Genesis. Now we follow along in our next lesson about Joseph being in prison and so on. In the meantime, will you please read your Bible, read this precious book over and over again, and may it really get into your hearts and into your lives. And the Lord bless you now for his name's sake.